Blog Talk Radio.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And
everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, he will also be presenting our words of encouragement. I don't know what you guys are doing, but I strongly urge that you stop, find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. A phrase we used to use a long time ago, great day in the morning. And this is certainly leading toward the school year. There used to be an atmosphere, it seemed like, in the air when school was getting ready to start back again. Of course, it's starting earlier and earlier than it used to be. But school will be starting back, and of course, we pray for their safety on the buses, standing on the corners trying to catch the bus, and sometime in inclement weather. And we pray for the entire family. This pandemic has really put the whammy on some families. Because the children for a while was at home every day, and some parents had to work every day, and so they had to make a change with that right there, and then they had to help the children with the lessons, And most parents ain't even been in school in the last 45 years. So what? So we want you to keep our students and our teachers and this whole school situation in your prayers. This is July the 2021 and the 28th of the month. And July, as we said before, is boogity boogity. It's on its way out. Next thing you know, it'll be August, and the kids will be, the children will be back in school. We're excited about the Grace View efforts. We're going to meet on August the 15th. We're going to meet on August 15th to just sort of test the waters a little bit. But we still will be on our regular streaming program for that day. And so if they come, fine. If they don't, we'll still have the streaming on our phones. And so, but we do want to try to meet for our worship and for our fellowship on August 15th. Some congregations have gone back. Some still have not gone back. Some that used to have at least 2,000 in their worship service are now having about 100 in their worship service. And so it's a fact that this COVID has stolen some of our members. It has this virus has stolen some of our Church of Christ members. Because some people won't come back to church for a while because they're still scared of the virus. And then some people who needed an excuse to not to go in the first place, this was right on time. This was right on time for them. The people who complain all the time, we got to go to church this Sunday. This virus sort of hit just about right, and the mothers who would get up on Sundays and ask their husbands, "Baby, you going to church today?" Or the kids would say, "Daddy, you going to ride with us to church today?" All that kind of stuff. Some of those people, this you ought to be having a hallelujah time because it felt just right for you. You didn't want to go to church in the first place, and. Then last week we prayed for our brother Patrick Matlock to make it back to Tallahassee, and I can confirm that he made it back to Tallahassee from Detroit, and so we're just glad that that has taken place. And also, I want to keep you up abreast on brother Ben Griffin too, who does an excellent job on Thursdays. He's written a new book called Torn. Which is for ministers to try to make a decision whether you're going to stay or whether you're going to go. And so if you get a chance, purchase that book called Torn by Brother Ben Griffin. And he has several other books that I've mentioned along the way because I find that they are certainly some good study books. And during this pandemic, while you're sort of stuck in the house, you should have an opportunity. Matter of fact, many of our members ought to really be the stewards of the Bible by now. Being at home, being stuck at home, should have given you an opportunity to read the Bible more. Maybe I'm reading more into that than I should, but you should have been able to read and to study and to understand God's Word more now than you did before the pandemic hit because there was really nothing else for you to do. And for some of the people who say, well, I just ain't got time or I work all the time or whatever it was, I think the pandemic sort of gave you an opportunity to do some things that you just haven't done. I talked to one of my good friends yesterday who his son was working with one of his coworkers had the virus and brought it back home to the family. And then the whole family had the virus. And so they've been quarantined. They had been in quarantine for 10 days. And when I called and talked to him yesterday was the 10th day, and they was off of quarantine and getting ready to go back again. And he was talking about that he was able to sort of do some stuff around the house and work in his garden and do some kind of things like that. Well, I'm hoping that this pandemic has strengthened really some of our members to study the Bible more because you're right at home, and while you're twiddling your thumbs and trying to figure out what to do, that would have been great. So that when we do go back together, when we do come back together for worship, you start to be knowing some things that the preacher already know. And that has really been one of the saddest thing, I guess, over the years is that most congregations wanted the preacher to do all the study and wanted him to know the Bible. And the sermon goes a whole lot better when the people in the pew sort of know where you're going. and know some of the things that you're talking about. And so this morning, just for our inspirational thought, let's talk about a good man that failed and returned. Now, that subject within itself is just, it ought to be overwhelming. It's because we don't want anybody to be eternally lost. We don't want anybody to be lost forever. And in the Bible, there were some people who had fallen, and then they had returned. Some people say that a Christian can't fall from grace. You know, once saved, always saved. Once you're in the grace of God, you're always in the grace of God, and it doesn't matter what conduct you have. It don't matter how you act. It don't matter whether you obey the gospel on Sunday and go back to the bars on Saturday night. And unfortunately, in some congregations, in some religions, there are people who are party people, and some of them party all night, and especially the weekends, Friday, Saturday, they party all weekend, and they sing in the choir, and some of them just getting in, some of them on Sunday morning, just getting in by the time worship service starts, and they go bouncing up in the choir to try to sing, and that's why you see some of them be wearing sunglasses and stuff like that, because they got them bloodshot eyes and everything. But when they called themselves to become a Christian, their behavior didn't change at all. And so some say that you can't fall from grace, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, he said, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth sure, take heed, lest he fall. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall." We can fall from grace. Matter of fact, we can go into apostasy. An apostasy means that one would leave God and never, ever return again. He gets so strung out, so far out away from God for various reasons. And when I say strung out, it don't always have to be drugs and alcohol and things of that sort. There can be a death in the family, and somebody blame God for it. And then they say, if that's the God that you worship, I don't have anything to do with it, because he took my mama, my grandmama, my sister, my brother, my children. But in Hebrews 9:27, he says, it's appointed once for a man to die, and after that comes a judgment. So don't blame God for something that's actually part of the system, because if you live long enough, you're going to die. And so I've known some people who have blamed God for certain things like that, and then they just quit the church. And you would think that in a tragedy situation that the church would be the first place you ought to be falling in. You ought to be calling. I've seen members lose a loved one, wouldn't even call a preacher. He'd be the last one to know. Matter of fact, he'd be talking to some member, and some member say, "Well, I guess I run by the hospital on my way home," and you say, "Who in the hospital?" "Oh, you didn't know Sally Sue was in there?" "No." And they knew you didn't know. That's why they were so ignorant and trying to bring it up in a sly kind of way. But they go in the hospital and then they hide. And I had a sermon on that one time. Members who go in the hospital and they hide, and about 12 people can go by and see them. And when they get out, they say, "You know, the preacher never did come by," and that was their main focus. They didn't care if 100 members came by; they just wanted to make sure that the preacher came by. But anyway, some people say that you can't fall from grace, and I'm here to tell you that you can. You can fall from grace, out of grace, no grace, and that passage proves in the 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 12: "Wherefore let him take heed lest he fall." It was God's mercy that he gave us his son in John 3, verse number 16. But it's Jesus' grace and his salvation that really keeps us clear. Look what he says in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5. He said, "But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus." His grace has brought us now, and then that verse says, "By grace are you saved." But then you continue to read the passage, and I want to encourage you to do this right here. Read read your Bibles every once in a while. Every now and then, pick your Bibles up and read. And when you do, and you run across a particular thought, a passage, or a story in the Bible, don't assume that that story is only written in that particular book, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are several incidences in the Bible where Matthew may mention it, Mark may mention it, Luke may mention it, John may mention it, and even though they all had a different perspective of how they mentioned it, it was still mentioned. And so some people read the Bible and they get a verse and they just hang on that verse as if no other verse in the Bible has anything to say about that. And I've seen them argue certain points. One of the Olympic guys on TV the other night was talking, and they was asking him how he felt about being over there in the Olympics, and it just struck me funny that he said there was a poet that once said, and he quoted this what he thought this poet had said, this individual had said. And when he was quoting, I'm thinking, the poet didn't say it. Jesus said it. The Bible said it. So I don't know what book you was reading out of to make you think that somebody else come up with this poem or what it was. But that was a very direct quote from the Bible. But when we talk about a good man falling and returning, because we're talking about Simon Peter and his whole situation. We'll talk about it a little bit more later on, but do you remember when Simon Peter doubted, and then you remember when he boasted, and then you remember when he slept, and then you remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then when he drew his sword, and that was one passage I wanted to emphasize, and we'll talk about it at a later time, is that some people say that they never did say who drew the sword. But each one of those books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, would give you a different event about it, but then one would finally tell you about it. And then Peter was one who walked afar off. Oh, look at the life of what Peter went through. And then he sat with the unbelievers. Now, all of that was during his fall. And then, of course, we need to talk about his return at some point in time. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for continue to bless us, and we thank you for what you've done for us, what you're doing for us, and what you're going to do for us in the future. And our blessings is on this day, because this is the day that you have made, and we're going to definitely rejoice, and we're going to be glad in it. May God bless you. Jesus love you. He died for you, and he's coming again, and have a super-duper week.